This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, July 31st. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a look at truancy in one Illinois school district, the first in a three-part series. And AM 580's Scott Olthoff will have our forecast. We'll take a look at that, but first, a look at today's news. Illinois' Republican candidate for lieutenant governor says state law should require the governor's inspector general to turn over evidence of criminal wrongdoing to investigators. Joe Burkett is the running mate of Republican gubernatorial candidate Judy Bar Topinka. Burkett and Topinka want a change in ethics laws that would require the inspector general to turn over evidence to state or federal investigators. Burkett says Governor Rob Blagojevich talks about his inspector general's findings, but he says only when it suits him. He also says Blagojevich has offered no evidence that he's referred inspector general reports to investigators. Sheila Nix is a spokeswoman for the Blagojevich campaign. She says the governor has turned over everything that his inspector general has found. Today will be the last day you'll be able to legally smoke a cigarette in a restaurant in Urbana. Beginning tomorrow, restaurants in Urbana must be smoke-free. Mayor Laurel Pressing says city staff have gone to every restaurant in Urbana distributing signs and flyers about the smoking ban and explaining how the new measure works. The mayor says the restaurant smoking ban will be largely self-enforcing.
It's really based on education of the public, and then it's up to the manager and the staff of the restaurant that if someone doesn't know about the law or, you know, lights up something, that the restaurant is responsible for asking the person to please not smoke. And if the person doesn't want to stop smoking, they should be asked to please leave the restaurant.
Pressing says the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District will investigate complaints about violations, but city officials will handle enforcement, such as court action or fines. The ban that starts tomorrow only affects restaurants and restaurants with bars in Urbana. Bans on smoking in restaurants in Champaign and in bars in both cities won't begin until January. Authorities say they don't expect a pilot survived a crash of a small plane in Lake Michigan over the weekend. The passenger in the plane hit the water about 3 miles east of the shore in Chicago on a flight from Wisconsin to Ohio. The pilot's name hasn't been released. Beginning tomorrow, thousands of Indiana felons will have to provide DNA samples for a statewide database. The program begins first in Marion County and will spread to the remainder of Indiana. Advocates hope the testing will reduce violent crime, help solve old cases, and remove repeat offenders from the streets. But critics say the testing may infringe on an individual's rights. Until now, only felons in Indiana who committed the most violent crimes had to provide DNA samples. As many as 16,000 new felons are expected to provide their DNA over the next year. Citing studies that show principals are second only to teachers in making a direct difference in students' lives, Illinois is making changes to ensure principals are prepared to lead their schools. Amanda Vinicky reports.
Many administrators get their starts as teachers, but teaching one classroom is different than leading a whole school. That's according to Erica Hunt, who was involved with crafting a new law that changes how principals are trained.
The job of a principal is so complex these days. You range from leading instruction, which should be the primary focus of the principalship, to also, you know, doing those daily management jobs that unfortunately take so much time away from the principal's ability to lead the instruction.
The law requires that starting next summer, all new principals will be mentored by someone with experience in the field. Longtime principals will soon have the option of taking a rigorous course to help them develop. Hunt also says that many districts don't do evaluations, so the law asks that each school do one of the principal yearly. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Organizers say they're pleased with the number of people who turned out for the National High School Finals Rodeo in Springfield. The event at the state fairgrounds drew more than 1,500 competitors from 40 states as well as Canada and Australia over the past week. Outgoing Rodeo Association President Lou Rust says he's gotten nothing but positive feedback on the event, which drew about 50,000 spectators for the 13 performances. Attendance for the event peaked at 56,000 in 2001 in Springfield. The rodeo wrapped up yesterday with Wyatt Smith of Rexburg, Idaho, being named All-Around Cowboy, and Haley Turley of Las Vegas earning All-Around Cowgirl honors. The rodeo will return to Springfield next July. For the latest newscast online, you can go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Rockford, Illinois has the dubious distinction of having a truancy rate that's more than four times the state average. About a year ago, the city council put a daytime curfew in place, hoping to catch kids cutting class. In the first of three reports, Illinois Public Radio's Jay Field sets out to learn what's causing kids to skip school and what the truancy problem says about Rockford itself.
5-3, burglary to a vehicle.
When Officer Dan Watton is on patrol, he drives his white police cruiser straight for the local parks, malls, and other places where kids gather. Watton grew up in Rockford and knows the neighborhood hangouts like the back of his hand. But this morning, all the regular spots are empty. So Watton lights up a cigarette, then dials a number on his car phone.
Is he inside, outside?
We're going to be going over across to the west side of Rockford. The truancy hotline got a call. 16-year-old male that the neighbors know that is out and about.
A few minutes later, Watton spots a young teen, Alfred Parson, darting inside one of the rundown houses that line the streets of the city's west side. The area is home to some of Rockford's toughest neighborhoods. More families live below the poverty line here, and the crime rate is high. Watton pulls his cruiser into the driveway. Parson's grandfather owns the house and lets Watton in.
Why aren't you in school today?
I missed the bus.
You missed the bus?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you come with me?
All right.
You got your ID on you? I'll get you to school, because that's where you need to be.
It's the police department's responsibility to pick kids like Parson up, cite them, and take them back to school. Back in the cruiser, Watton tries to find out why the 10th grader has been skipping.
How you doing in school?
Not real good.
Not real good? How come?
I don't really know how to do the work out there, you know?
Missing a lot of days?
I've been missing a lot of days, yeah. But I can't wait till I'm 18 so I can actually get out of school. 2 more years and that's it.
The daytime curfew is Rockford's most radical move yet to deal with a crisis plaguing its young people. Nearly 10% of students here cut school on a regular basis. The truancy problem is especially upsetting to Rockford's new mayor. Larry Morrissey pushed the daytime curfew shortly after his election last year. Morrissey grew up in Rockford, then left the city for college, law school, and a promising career at a downtown Chicago firm. He came back 9 years ago to help out at his family's law firm after his dad got sick and became determined to fix the problems piling up in his hometown.
I love the town, was inspired to come back by family members, former Mayor John McNamara, back in the tough times in the 80s. I remember him speaking to one of my high school classes and talked about giving back to your community and having a stake in your community and taking ownership over problems.
Morrissey says a culture of apathy and hopelessness infected the city's youth while he was away. To understand why, he says you have to know the story of Rockford's past. It unfolds most dramatically along a churning stretch of the Rock River near downtown.
You don't find factories built this way anymore. But it's got a great opportunity. You get a wonderful view of the whole river valley.
Morrissey stands in front of 13 stories of aging concrete, loose plaster, steel, and broken windows. The Amrock Corporation made microswitches and other parts here for tanks, submarines, ships, and planes during World War II.
We've been involved in the tool and die industry and screws, that were at times referred to as the screw capital of the world. And so we've got a number of old companies like Amrock that were around that are simply not here at the same level that they once were and don't produce the jobs that they once did.
Between 1994 and 2004, the Rock River Valley lost roughly 12,000 manufacturing jobs, according to the Rockford Area Economic Development Council. The city's per capita income fell from 100% to 86% of the national average, and Rockford's unemployment rate remains higher than the state and national averages, at more than 7%.
We have a credibility gap. For a young person to just look around their environment, you could have all the rhetoric in the world that say, hey, we care about you, we love you, we want you to do great in school. But once you walk out of the school, what's the pavement like? What's the blight around the school? We've got to see a good, strong investment throughout our city in order to try to have our message that we use in the schools consistent with what the world is actually around our kids.
Morrissey says city government needs help from community agencies, the private sector, and other partners to spur economic revitalization. City officials say the same kind of cooperation and shared responsibility is needed to improve Rockford schools. For years, the city had a truancy plan that seemed to be working. It was part of a series of steps under a desegregation lawsuit to make curriculum and programs in Rockford schools more fair for minority students. Schools like Auburn High got money to hire teams of attendance officers. Diane Newman is a counselor at Auburn.
Contracts were written for the child in terms of, you need to attend, this is what you need to do. They worked with the parent in terms of making sure the parent knew it was their responsibility to get the child to school. If there was a transportation problem or a homeless problem or something like that, then it was addressed. This program was extremely successful. It ran for 4 years, and the first year, the truancy problem was probably cut down by 10%. By the third year, it was cut down by 30%.
But Newman says this approach led to a more subtle problem that she believes has contributed to Rockford's latest struggle with truancy.
But it developed a cultural understanding that it was the school's job to fix the problems. It was not the responsibilities of the individual families to fix the problem.
Auburn and other high schools eventually lost their attendance officers due to district budget cuts. These days, schools officials are choosing to focus the limited resources they have on middle and elementary schools. Ed Portillo, former head of the district's truancy prevention program, believes the city is moving in the right direction with the daytime curfew.
The focus has shifted to the community. You know, what can community agencies do to bring to the table to help with this problem? How can we engage families in realizing the importance of an education? When you have United Way coming to the table and providing services for families, you have the YWCA, you have the other agencies in town.
The United Way and the Y are running the diversion program that many curfew offenders get sent to. Kids and their parents spend 2 nights talking with a counselor about the dangers of drugs, careless sex, gangs, and the importance of staying in school. So far, 93 of the nearly 300 kids who've been picked up have shown improved attendance. Officials say it's progress, but they're still not reaching kids like Matt Darnell.
Yeah, I don't like school. It's boring.
Darnell is standing in a narrow hallway outside Rockford's juvenile delinquency court. The 15-year-old went through the diversion program, but he's had 14 unexcused absences since, and the judge is angry. You didn't hold up your agreement with me, he tells the boy. What are your plans? Are you going to work at McDonald's for the rest of your life? A parent is supposed to be here with Darnell, but instead he stands before the judge with his sister, an eighth grader. Back outside, the scrawny teen weighs his future.
What kind of job do you see yourself being able to do?
Car technician, like fixing them and stuff, automotive, repairing.
Do you think you'll stay in high school?
I might go get my GED and then go to trade school.
Darnell says his parents think it's okay for him to get his GED if it means he'll stop cutting school. Tomorrow, we'll meet a middle school truancy officer and the 14-year-old mom he's determined to see graduate from high school. I'm Jay Field.
Well, we're going to see record, near record heat and humidity over the two-state area and Champaign-Urbana for the next couple of days. A heat advisory for the two states until 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And Chicago and southwest Illinois are under excessive heat warnings until tomorrow. In case of southwest Illinois around St. Louis, until 7 o'clock Wednesday evening. The forecast from meteorologist Scott Olthoff says sunny, hot, and humid throughout the two states. There's a slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm in Indiana and in southeast Illinois. Highs will range from 102 degrees across southwest Illinois today to 94 in eastern Indiana. Warm and humid overnight tonight. The lows from 80 in Chicago and St. Louis to 73 across eastern Indiana. And for tomorrow, in northern Illinois, sunny, hot, and humid, a slight chance of afternoon thunderstorms. Elsewhere, more of the same. Sunshine, hot, and humid. Highs ranging tomorrow from 102 across southwest Illinois to 94 in eastern Indiana. It'll back off a few degrees by Wednesday and especially into Thursday and Friday, with highs on Friday from the low 80s north to low 90s south. Champaign-Urbana's forecast for today, sunny, hot, and humid, a slight chance of a passing shower or thunderstorm, and a high of 97 with heat indexes between 105 and 110 by this afternoon, and very light south winds, maybe 5 to 10 miles an hour. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, July 31st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.